Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Good Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a great day today. Just about 5 days away now from our Turkey Dinner Sunday. It's this Sunday, November 16th. We start right at 10:30 with a gospel service, and there's not only our service, but service for the children in a fully staffed nursery. And then right at the conclusion of the service, we'll give you a ticket to go out and get the free turkey dinner meal. We're going to serve it up for you, wonderful turkey, and then mashed potatoes and gravy, and there's salad, there's vegetables, there's pumpkin pie, there's dinner rolls. It's a wonderful, wonderful meal. And so come out and join us, will you? It's absolutely free, no charge, and we'd love to be a blessing to you this week. Just RSVP for us, if you would. Shoot me an email, pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or call the church office, 614-875-2190. All right, look forward to seeing you on Turkey Dinner Sunday, this Sunday at 10:30. Now, James chapter 4, I want to talk to you today about what are your plans. James 4, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says this, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so I want to ask you a few questions. You can raise your hand if you answer yes. Just keep your eyes on the road if you're driving. All right. How many of you ever purchased a home in your life? Okay. How many of you ever worked a job? All right. Have you taken a vacation? Are you planning on taking one next year? Okay. How many of you ever bought a car? Okay. How many of you ever gone to college or will be going to college? Okay. How many of you are married or plan to be married? All right. How about who has children or who would like to have children? Okay. How about this? How many of you are planning to have a great retirement? Okay. All right. I'm trying not to leave anybody out here. Even if you're a young person, happen to be listening, you may be in school. I don't know. Maybe you're homeschooled and you listen to the broadcast. But you ever buy a bike or a PlayStation or anything like that? That's a little survey. Now, here's one more question. I want you to think about it. I don't have to raise your hand. But when you last bought your car, your house, began a new job, or decided on a vacation, did you pray about it? When you believe you met the right person, wanting to get married, did you pray about it? When you're planning your retirement and trying to get your all your eggs in the right basket, did you pray about your retirement? What you'll do? Have you tried to discern and understand the will of God? See, most of us, the truth is, most of us don't consider God in the midst of everyday plans. Unless, of course, we get sick and we want God to heal us. But what about God's will and God's guidance in our purchases, let alone the major events in our life? How do we make those decisions and plans? Now, making plans is normal and it's the right thing to do. But we have to make our plans in life as if we'd like to succeed, and we do that. But the question James asks us is this, is God involved in those plans? Paul often sought the Lord regarding to his travels. He would say in 1 Corinthians 16 that he wanted to spend some time with the people of Corinth if the Lord permits. What was he saying? He's saying, I want my plans to be contingent upon God's plans. Paul said in the book in Colossians to the church at Colossae, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. In Ephesians, he said, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So anytime we make decisions, we have to seek God's will and learn to understand the plan he has for us. Nothing wrong with making plans. The Bible makes that clear. We're to make plans. So it's okay to make plans, but we have to consider God in those plans. People were making plans here in James about how they're going to get money, how they're going to go to this town or that town and do some traveling. Their plans were all set. And James wasn't against the making of money or making definite plans, but he was against not having God have any say in those plans. The people making plans as if God didn't exist. Instead, they should have been prayerfully making their plans and allow God to divert their plans for his plan. Generally speaking, we have to be open for God's guidance, open to God's leading. And that is always contingent on us being willing to give up control, knowing that God ultimately is the one in control and that his plan is always the best plan. His plan will always be better than our plan. These people made plans without considering what God wanted them to do. They don't know what tomorrow was going to bring. Tomorrow may not even come for them. It was similar to that fellow who God called a fool in Luke chapter 12, who had abundant harvest and built new barns so he could eat, drink, and be merry. But the point of the parable was he made all those plans without regard to God and was only counting on what he could do personally. So James says, remember, your life is just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Here one minute and gone the next. Have you met people like that? Oh, they have great plans for the future, but they're not here for the future. It doesn't mean that a person was bad, just that their dreams were never realized. Think about all the people who were coming to America to get a new start on the Titanic. They had good and legitimate hopes and dreams, but many of them never made it. Remember the space shuttle in 1986 when we sent a school teacher, Krista McAuliffe, into space? It was a great idea, wasn't it? But we know what happened. We know the ending. Hall of Fame football player Walter Payton was an amazing running back on the field, and he was a very giving man. But cancer ended his plans. You see, God has a plan for us. They're real. They're definite. And if you read letters that Christians wrote 100 years ago, you'd notice the postscript on it was DV. DV, it was two letters, stood for the Latin words Deo Volente, which means God willing. And that goes right along with what James said. We ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. We don't want to make statements that we say, well, sometimes we say, well, if the Lord will and the creek don't rise, and we kind of joke about it. But listen, don't joke about God's plan for your life and God's will for your life. Jesus told the disciples how he would suffer and die. And what did Peter do? He rebuked him. Why? That wasn't Peter's plan, but it was God's plan. Joseph had dreams of his brothers and father bowing to him, but his plan didn't involve Egypt and a prison sentence. But God had a plan. Gideon in Judges chapter 7, Gideon certainly learned a lesson, didn't he? God's plan may not be the easiest plan. It might be the most popular plan. It might not be the most sensical plan, but it's always the best plan to defeat the enemy. So let me help you with this. Number one, God's plan is a different plan than my plan. Gideon started with 32,000, but there was a plan. God's plan was to whittle it down to 300. David had a plan to just be a faithful shepherd, but God had another plan for him. Joseph and Mary had a plan, I'm sure, like most young couples, get married, have children, but God had another plan. We have a missionary in Siberia, Brother Parak. Brother Parak and his wife, they had plans. He had a good job. He was fluent in Japanese and working in an auto industry and helping to do interpretation and write books up, really. But now he's a missionary. What happened? God had another plan. When I got out of high school, I trained to work in the travel industry and work for a travel agency or the airline. But God had a different plan, didn't he? And now for over 43 years, been a pastor of a church. He planned for that to be so. God has a different plan than my plan. God has a declared plan. He let Gideon know that he's going to take on these 300 men and defeat the Midianites. That would be a step of faith. It didn't make sense, but it took faith. It didn't make reasoning. It took faith. It didn't take feeling. It took faith. You faith in what God says. Decide on the principles and commands of God's word and then obey them. God's plan is a distinct plan. 300 versus thousands and thousands. And he says, you're going to surround the enemy in three groups of 100, blow the trumpets, break the pitchers, and shout the sword of the Lord in Gideon. That's going to lead to victory? Yes, absolutely. And if they hadn't followed God's plan, would they have been victorious? No. God's plan was certainly distinct from all the others, but it was the best. God's plan is different than my plan. God has a declared plan. God has a distinct plan, but God has a plan that always requires surrender. It might have been difficult for Gideon to be a leader over 32,000 and then be a leader over 300. You see, Gideon had to learn. It's not about the Israelites. It's not about the Midianites. It's not even about Gideon. It's about God. Will you lay aside your dreams, your desires, your ambitions for God's plan? That's what Romans 12 called being a living sacrifice, surrendered to the will of God. God's plan is a different plan than my plan. God is a declared plan. God is a distinct plan. God's plan requires surrender. God's plan will require you to be steadfast. No weapons, a trumpet, a pitcher, and shout real loud. You think that was easy? You think any of those men thought, oh yeah, I see how this will work? No. But they did exactly as they were told. They followed the plan. They were steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast in what God tells you to do. Don't waver. God's plan is different than my plan. God is a declared plan. God is a distinct plan. God's plan requires surrender. God's plan will require you to be steadfast. But God's plan will defeat the enemy. They got the victory. As they did as they were commanded, the Midianites turned on one another and began to run away. And the Israelites followed after them only to spoil. Listen, God's plan is the path to victory. God's plan is the path to fulfillment. God's plan is the path to enjoyment. God's plan is the path to satisfaction. Satan has no plan for your life. He just wants you to do anything except God's plan. And it's following God's plan that brings you victory. When you walk in God's plan for your life, you never walk in defeat. Don't go in the way that seems right to you. Go in the way that God says is right. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Number 7, when you follow God's plan, his name is honored. Victory was won without a great battle. It was won without a great army. It was won without great weaponry. All the glory goes to God. None of those men could brag about what they did. Oh, I would urge you today, turn away from your plan and embrace God's plan. And you'll be assured of victory. And he will receive the glory. And that's what life's all about, isn't it? Shouldn't we be pointing others to Jesus? William Carey, a famous missionary in the 1800s, came back to the States after serving on the mission field. And he was introduced as a speaker, and somebody waxed very eloquent about William Carey. And he got up to speak, and he said these words, "You've been speaking about William Carey, but when I'm gone, say nothing about William Carey. Speak only about William Carey's Savior." End quote. Your plan or God's plan? You in control or God in control? Which one will you do today? Which one will you follow today? What are your plans? What is God's plan for you? Let's yield to him today, shall we? It always is going to bring the victory. It always is going to bring satisfaction. It always is going to bring the fulfillment. Let's follow God's plan today. All right. Well, have a great Tuesday, William. We'll look forward to being with you again on the broadcast tomorrow, and that'll be Wednesday, and that's church night, and I'll say more about that when we come onto the broadcast tomorrow. All right? And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.